Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Now that we've shut down the Patreon and we're no longer putting out new episodes over there, we wanted to put some of the old episodes out here on the free feed. But due to how old some of them are, we wanted to provide a little bit of context before each episode.
So this episode was recorded on August 4th, 2022, and it is the second half of the Patreon podcast. The first half was last week, and this half is all about search text ads. So if you've been wondering, how do I set up search text ads, or I've tried those and they didn't work for me, this is definitely your episode. All things text ads on both Bing and on Google. Whole lot of nuggets in here. Please take our advice and set up text ads this way, and I promise you, you should see results in your business.
But where you can really, really win on Bing is text ads. So I challenge you to like go to Bing.com, search for a product that you sell or somebody else sells, and look at the text ads. The word ad is the smallest little piece of letters I've ever seen on any. Like, you can't really tell it's an ad. They actually do a really good job of making this look like part of the search results. And you have the ability to add all sorts of extensions to take up almost the whole above the fold in one listing, which is just wild. So this is where you can really, really win here. It kind of pivots us into how to do text ads correctly. But I do want to touch on, like, they crush. And by crush, I mean, like, on Google, if you got a 3 to 7% click-through rate on your text ads, you're doing really, really well on Google. I would tell you that you're not doing that great on Bing if you got a 3 to 7%. Like, I would challenge you to try to push that to 25, 30, 40% click-through rates on the keywords that really matter to you. And it's very achievable on Bing. And just, you know, think about that, right? There's only 10% of the volume, but this is where I meant, like, if you got 3% of all of Google versus 40% of all of Bing, I don't do public math here, but I think that's more. And so, like, you know, you have a real opportunity to take up a big share of a small market by doing text ads correctly on this platform.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the other thing as well is that that lends in their favor is one of the reasons that a lot of people in high ticket dropshipping don't do a lot of search text ads on Google is because they're much more expensive, or the cost per click is higher than their conversion rate allows them to carry in comparison to their shopping ads. And I don't think, at least in my experience, that the CPCs on Bing are not as high for search text ads, probably partly because there's not as much competition there in a lot of niches. Cause as you say, it's one of the things that people sleep on. And so that does, and, you know, yeah, you less competition, more percentage of the eyes on your ads that are there. Cause I do like search text ads, you know, it's a bit sad to me sometimes that we can't, necessarily always run as many as you'd like to on Google these days. But they're a great tool. Yeah.
So you and I didn't talk about this beforehand. I do kind of wonder if we're going to argue a little bit here about text. I'm sure we have little nuances into how you do them or versus how I do them. But I think you're right in that often, in my own experience of coaching people, most people set up very few text ads. And then the ones they do, they maybe try to do too much versus like how I think I'm going to share with you today, how I like to do them. And by doing too much, they're kind of spending all willy-nilly, and then they're not converting, and then they're just like, well, text ads don't work, right? I think people are very quick to say X doesn't work, whether that's text ads or remarketing or Pinterest or something that they've really not done the hard work on. Facebook ads is a good one. You see that everywhere. Facebook ads don't work anymore. Well, obviously they do, right? And so, can we teach you a way to give this a real go rather than, you know, maybe you kind of gave it a what you thought was a good go and it didn't work well. I've been in too many accounts where they're trying to attack 500 keywords in one campaign, and then they're wondering why the ad doesn't work or the click-through rate sucks or the cost is too much or why it's not converting. And to me, that's I don't know. I don't think people give it a real shot. And if you do this using data, this can be a very, very powerful strategy for you to own the entire search engine results page for specific keywords and you know, focus on the ones that are actually going to make you money. And yes, it's a lot of work to build these out, but it's usually worth it in the end.
Mm. Yeah, true. Look, definitely saying that sometimes it's too expensive, I think doesn't ignore the fact that I think you're right. A lot of people don't really, they dabble a little bit with search text ads, but they don't really put any significant time or energy into testing it out properly to find out what, you know, what they can actually get out of it. Sure.
Give me the landscape before we dive into like text ads done right. Give me the landscape of Australia in comparison to shopping. Is it the same? Are we talking the same thing here that like they're harder, they're more expensive, they're, you know, they're more work, or like do they convert better in Australia versus shopping ads? Like, talk to me about that.
Yeah, funny you say that actually. I think there would be a number of people, myself included, with different things, not always the case, but I have certainly spoken to a number of people in Australia who say that that search text ads convert better for them than shopping ads in Australia. I have seen that to an extent myself, not across the board for any of the stuff that I've ever sold, but in you know, some things, yes. But I have coached a number of people who have pretty big stores for Australia who have been doing it for, you know, 5 or 6 years here, and are still doing it, who rely more heavily on search text ads than they do on shopping ads.
Hmm.
You know, and that once again may just be a competition based thing, or I've never really dug too much into why that's the case. I've always just been like, well, that's totally cool, like, good on you, keep running them then, and you're doing a good job. But yeah, I've definitely heard that. Whereas in my experience of coaching people, the opposite is true for the US, in my experience. Like, just based on what people are doing, not necessarily to say that it's always going to be the case, but, you know, most accounts that I look at where people are running shopping and text ads, they're getting a better ROAS from their shopping ads.
I think that just comes down to cost, right? Like, if you're paying $1 per click in shopping and you have to pay $2 per click for your big keywords, you know, it's likely not going to work out, right? This is where, you know, I'm going to use the word skag a lot today. This is where it's like, it's important to focus on single keywords. Single keyword ad group is what skag stands for. And pick keywords that are proven to you rather than you guessing. I don't think text ads are a place for you to guess. I don't think text ads are a place for you to run broad sweeping keywords and let Google try to figure this out for you. I just don't think that's the right answer, in my opinion. And so, again, this is maybe where John and I argue today. I know people have emailed me and told me they tune in just to hear us argue, John.
Oh, really? Well, maybe I'll just pick a contrary position and argue that. smart shopping campaigns all the way. They're the best. No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, look, I think that train of thought has gone right out my ear. How embarrassing. Oh, no.
I don't edit these shows either, so we're all going to see this.
No, look, I'm sure there are some things that we would probably do differently. We're just going to have to come back to that. I can't remember.
Well, look, I just want to dive into text ads, right? So first off, to wrap a bow on the first half of this is like, don't sleep on Bing. If you don't have your shopping funnel built out by hand, not imported, go fucking do that. Like, I promise you're leaving money on the table. Set it up correctly. Do it tight and it'll pay dividends. Layer that audience. And then if you can build text ads the way we're about to talk about building text ads, again, layer the audience here, you're going to do really, really well. So I'm gonna lay mine out, John, if you want to rip me apart or you have stuff to add, lay in there. I just want to talk about single keyword ad groups. The underlying cog, I guess, I'm not even sure the right word here. The thing you have to get right in text ads is keywords. Like, you have to get this right. So I like to build SKAGs, single keyword ad groups. And the reason I do that is because I'm talking to one keyword. So I'll hop in an account, like I mentioned before, and they'll be targeting 30 different keywords with one ad group, with one ad even. And a lot of those keywords, while you might think they mean the same thing, the customer is actually looking for something completely different, right? So sometimes it's a question. It's sometimes someone looking for information. It's not always like, send them to the product page. Whereas, you know, in your low priority campaign, you can find some keywords that have always worked for you. And this is where I would recommend you start. Go find those keywords that have just flat out worked for you, and then build one ad around that one keyword that works for you. And then, you know, now you used to be able to run different ads and test them. I would recommend that. Now you have to run like one ad and build different headlines and descriptions, and you can pin some. And Google has undeniably made this harder, in my opinion, than it used to be, where you could actually like fight yourself and let them rotate evenly and then find the winner and then go beat yourself again. You now have to do this with like headlines and stuff. I'm not super in love with what Google's doing over there, so we're all gonna have to learn this together, I think, John. Their new style of like, I'm gonna ask you this, like, do you think the new style is better than the old style?
Talking about like responsive ads.
Yeah, you used to be able to like make a non-responsive ad, right? That where you could really detail, here's what I want headline 1, 2, and 3 to be, here's the description, and then you could go write 4 different ads that compete against each other rather than letting Google do the competing and just like, I'm not in love with what they've done.
Yeah, I fucking hate all forms of responsive ads. Hate them. They just don't work properly. So what's the point of having 5 different headlines, 5 different descriptions, a long headline, and blah, blah, blah? The point is split testing, right? Now, the problem that Google does is it will only split test. So let's say you give it 5 and 5. I don't know how many combinations that is. It's like 25 possible. I don't know. Some idiot do the maths, right?
5 factorial.
Like, it's a lot. Right? Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of like different combinations. They'll literally split test each of those for about, some of them, for about 30 or 40 impressions. And a few clicks before they pick a winner, and then they'll just force that one out. That's my experience, right? That's not they never give it enough data to actually run a true split test. I would be happy for there to be an automated solution to split testing, because if you've got a lot of different ads running, like let's say you've got tons of skags and blags and whatever running, and you know you've got 50 ads running, split testing all of those manually, it's pretty time consuming, right? Because you've got to run a test, you've got to record when you did it, you've got to come back in, you've got to update the ad, you've got to kill the loser, pick the winner, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a bit of work there, right? So if automation could actually run a genuine split test with enough data, because you can't run a split test off a few clicks, that's not a statistically viable number. So you can't do that. It's got to be hundreds of clicks, right? Or at least thousands of impressions. If it did that, and then it picked a winner, and you could then just come back in a month later and test a new set of 5, keep the old winner and put in a new 5, and it would just manage that for you, that would be awesome. I actually think that would be really cool. But the problem is it doesn't do that. So it just doesn't work. And that's the whole point of responsive ads. That's why Google created them, is to save you having to split test, basically. And they were like, well, let us do that for you. We'll pick the winner. But in my experience, and often what can happen is, well, if you don't think about it really hard, sometimes you'll, like, in some ads, they'll put, like, 2 things together that are kind of repetitious and don't really make sense together, which I really don't like as well. So, I mean, obviously we'll talk about the mechanics of setting them up a little bit, but if I'm using responsive ads, I'm not giving them like filling it out completely and just running one ad. I would run multiple responsive ads I'd split test responsive ads against each other. That's what I would do.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
For some reason, I feel like you can. If you can, that kind of solves the problem. The other thing that they can kind of do to help you is like, you can pin a headline, right? So if all of your headline ones are like your opening description, you can say all of those, these 5 are, can only show in 1, and then write your next 5 that makes sense with all of those 5, and these can only show in 2. It's kind of a nightmare, honestly. Here's the thing, right? So back to keyword research. Like, I want something actionable to everyone listening to this, right? So whether you're new or whether you're seasoned, it's kind of the same. If you're new, I want you to pick like brand name, product name, description. So, we often use saunas on here. What's Sunray sauna? Do they have like I want to say they have a Baldwin. And the only reason I remember that is because I live in Baldwin. So if they have Sunray, Baldwin, and we'll say it's a 3-person sauna, like pick that keyword, Sunray, Baldwin, 3-person sauna. If you want to make a couple variations that are exactly the same, they have to be very, very exact same to this. So Sunray, Baldwin sauna, Sunray, Baldwin 3 sauna, or sauna 3 or something like that, right? Maybe single keyword again. I'm saying if they're the same keyword, the same way we do H1 and H2s, if they're the same keyword in Google's eyes, you can lump them into the single keyword ad group. But keep it tight. So if you're new, I want you to pick brand name, product name, description, something long tail, and this is the only thing you're going to practice this on. And if you're seasoned, I want you to go in your low priority campaign, and I want you to find a winner. I want you to find something that over time has converted like crazy for you, and that's the keyword you're going to do this with. I just kind of want everyone to test this method. Find that one keyword that you can kind of roll with here, and let's build a single keyword ad group and see what happens. Like, I don't think you have anything to lose. And if you want to like really mitigate your risk here, do it on Bing. Don't even do it on Google first. Go on Bing first, where you'll spend a lot less to get the same information, in my opinion. And I think it'll actually work better for you. So that's all for me, the keyword strategy is, and I'm just assuming everyone's up and running. Honestly, if I was new, I probably wouldn't even run text ads out of the gates. I would just kind of wait for data. And once you have that data, once you know what's converting, these are the keywords that you should be creating text ads about. Not some random middle of the funnel keyword you found in Medium. Get that shit in low and have it convert a few times. And then, oh, I want to own this keyword. And by the way, you should optimize your page around this, and you should build some content if possible around some of these keywords. But like, as far as text ads go, get as tight as you possibly can. Do you have different theories there, John, or are you on that same page?
Yeah, I'm on the same page with that. I think you've got to ease your way into this if you're new. It's definitely not, apart from a trademark text campaign, which we'll probably mention along the way somewhere in more detail, I wouldn't do it. I mean, anytime I set up a new ad account for somebody, I never set up text ads out of the gates. It's just you're just slinging mud against the wall and hoping it sticks, really. I mean, yeah, you could make some pretty decent guesses, but like at that point, for a high ticket dropshipping store where you're going to have like a decent number of products, you don't even know which products you're going to sell yet. Like what do people want to buy? What do people actually, because sometimes what people search and what people buy isn't the same thing. So I think it's much a better bet for the average new starter in high ticket dropshipping to be waiting to get some conversion data from their shopping ads, start seeing where the traffic flows from shopping ads and all of that sort of thing before you start testing outsearch text ads. And yeah, absolutely. If you've already got an ad account that's been around for a while and running shopping ads and you're not doing any search text ads, then absolutely look in your low priority campaign first, see what search terms convert repeatedly. And yeah, start turning those over into some text ads for sure. Start testing it.
And the beauty is, like in shopping, you don't get to choose your keywords. You kind of do with our funnel, right? But you don't get to be really clear. And this allows you to be really clear, right? And so you might look at it and be like, "Oh, that." Like I'm looking at one right now. Five impressions last month, very long tail. Five impressions last month, two clicks. That's a 40% click through rate, $4 per click, right? And if we extrapolate that out to something a little bit bigger, you'd be like, wow, that's going to cost me $389 to get 100 clicks where I might get one sale, right? But I would challenge you to say, you know, those keywords you've identified, they're going to convert better than your regular keywords, right? And so you can be a little tighter here, know you're going to spend a little more, and you know, place bets where your odds are a little better. Like, I don't know, if you think about slot machines, what do they pay back? Like 40% of what's put into them, whereas if you go to the blackjack table, you have like 49%, or the craps table, you have 49% odds. Like, everyone should be playing craps in the casino instead of pushing buttons on the slot machine. I hope that was a good analogy. I think your odds are better when you handpick these keywords. And so you can place strategic bets by following the data.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
John's not a casino guy, can you tell?
Yeah, I'm an occasional casino guy, you know. When I was younger, I was. You know, I'm too old now.
Too old. All right, so where do you go from there, John? So keywords are everything. If you don't get your keywords right, none of this other stuff even matters. Where do you go from here? I know there's quite a few pointers I think we can give here as far as like maximizing your chances of having success.
Yeah. All right. So I mean, obviously, yeah, if you're picking keywords that you know convert, then you've kind of got the conversion part of the idea somewhat squared away. That's not the only thing that's important with search text ads, though, of course. I mean, we're just going back to talking about single keyword ad groups. Why do you actually do single keyword ad groups? Well, obviously, part of the reason is to be super relevant, but you're also going to get the best result out of, from a cost perspective, out of search text ads when there is a like when your ad, your keyword, and your landing page are super congruent. This is actually why you don't put 57 keywords with one ad. It's because a bunch of those keywords aren't really going to be very congruent with the landing page and the ad text. And Google looks at that and they'll say, either you're going to have a low landing page, low user landing page experience score, or you're going to have a low click-through rate. And they make assumptions about those things even before you start running ads. And what that means is that your cost per clicks are going to be higher. So you're automatically out of the gates when you do that, whether it can, even if it converts, which the chances of it converting are lower if your ad's not congruent to your keywords and your landing page, your cost per clicks are going to be higher. And so even if you do make a sale, it might not be profitable because you've spent too much on the clicks, right? Whereas if you go, you have a single keyword, the landing page features that keyword, you know, particularly if it's in the title of the page or something like that, the landing page features, your ad text features it, then Google's going to say, wow, that's super tight. You know, we expect the user to have a good experience here and to get to what they're actually looking for as a result of clicking that ad. So from the start, we're going to make you fairly, we're going to give you a decent quality score for it, and you're going to perform fairly well in the auction, which should lead you to a higher click-through rate. And of course, a lower CPC for each click. So I think with that in mind, what you put in your ad is very important as well. So yes, you've got to have the right keyword. You've got to send it to the right page, which if you're doing the sort of keywords that Ben's mentioning, obviously the product page is pretty obvious where that keyword needs to lead to. But then you also have to write a good ad, right? So, you know, you're not going to be the only ad on the page. There's going to be other people with ads. And the higher you can make your click-through rate, better quality score you're going to get from Google. They're going to think you're more relevant than the other advertisers, and that's going to translate into a lower CPC for the same position. So, you know, this is a very good thing. And so what does that mean for your ad? Well, you kind of have to walk up when you're doing single keyword ad groups and you want to make your ad really congruent to your keyword. There's kind of a balancing act between including making sure you're always getting that keyword or at least close variants into your ad text while still writing an ad that entices people to click it, right? So you've kind of got to, when you're writing an ad, you've got to sell the click. You're not selling the product in your ad, right? This is a great misconception that I still hear people making about ads. People think that ads convert. Ads don't convert people. That's not the point of an ad. The point of an ad is to get people to visit you, right? If you think about it in traditional terms, when you see a you know, an advertisement for a physical retail store or a billboard, the point isn't for you to pull out your wallet and pay the billboard. It's for you to go over to that store and walk through the front doors so a salesperson can hit you up and say, hey buddy, what are you here for? And you're gonna say, well, I'm here to look at this product that I saw, and they're gonna take you off and sell it to you. Well, it's the same for you. The point of your ad is to get people to click the ad to visit your website. It's your website's job to convert, to close the sale, or your customer service, or whatever. So when you're writing an ad, that's what you got to think about. Not just, do I have my keyword in the ad? Yes, that's very important. But you've got to think about, if somebody saw this ad, why would they be more likely to click it than any of the other ads they're likely to see on that page, or the organic search results, or anything like that? So a little tip that I reckon almost nobody does when they're setting up search text ads, when you've got your keyword in mind, go and put it into Google and see what the other ads on that page say before you write your own ad. See what they say. And then think about, can I say something different here that's going to be more enticing to the person who sees my ad alongside these ads that might lead them to click on it, right? And I think that's a really good place to start when it comes to writing your ads. Try that. Sometimes, what do you think, Ben?
Sometimes you say things so eloquently. I'm just over here smiling. Like, I would have said that in like four words, and you just said it in like 4 minutes, and it was way better. So, I'm the same way, right? If you want to get super technical, you the keyword you're going after better be in your title. It better be in one of your headlines. It better be in your description because it's going to be bold. It better be on the page they land on. You better describe the, what they're going to see when they land there so they don't leave right away when they land there, right? You need to, congruency, I think, is the right word here. Like, you need to be congruent from the keyword you're targeting to the ad you write to the page they land on through the whole process, just so that your customer's going on their own journey here and not leaving your site. They're not bouncing it. They're not looking at your ad and it's irrelevant to what they searched in the first place. You got to get a lot of little things right here, I think, to be successful, but it all mostly comes down to just congruency, I think, is the right word, John.
And so you think about it as well when you're writing your ad, like the person who's making, if we're talking about those really long tail product specific keywords, like the temptation people will have around those ads is to write an ad that tries to sell the product, right? Now, if somebody's typing that search term into Google, they already know what the product is, right? You're not educating them about the product at this point. They know what it is. They're looking for a place to buy it. So I'll just go back to say something that mentions the product, but is actually more about getting somebody to come to your store, not somebody else's store. So one of the things you might talk about is why your offer is better than your competitors.
You mean writing free shipping, no tax, John?
Well, if no one else was doing that, that might be helpful. If everybody else's ad says free shipping, no tax, then that's not going to help you entice somebody to your site over theirs, is it?
I see it so much. It's so, come on, guys. No. Be better.
Yeah, be better. But you can also just like play around with psychology a little bit, right? And while I don't want to say get clickbaity with your titles because that's not cool, you can still like just, you know, screw with the ads a little bit and like just. So I don't know if I would recommend everybody does this, but certainly something I will do is I'll say things in a text ad like, don't shop anywhere else until you've seen this. You can put that in the headline of, literally, you want to see a high click-through rate? Put a negative statement in it, which will sit amongst all the other positive statements, get a massive click-through rate. I guarantee it. Every time.
I was genuinely curious how hacky we would get here today. I want to share some like black hat stuff, but like that's a good one, right? Like,
it's not black hat though. There's nothing against Google's policies in doing that.
Are you aware of another guru who recommends putting dash on sale in every single product? I don't
recommend doing that. That's different. That's different, and that's stupid. If anybody's still doing that, geez, tell you what, send them my way.
I can. It's one of the gurus.
I know who you're talking about. It's all good. It's all good.
So I was curious how far you, like, some shit I think is just like, meh. Like, what are you doing? It's cheesy. It's not representative of what the customer is going to find. You're positioning yourself as just, you don't want that type of traffic. I promise you. Even if your click's better, I promise you don't want that. So I was curious where you would go, right? And I think being the antagonist, I believe is the right word there. You know, being the opposite of what is showing up in the search is a great way to do that. And if you got to be a little clickbaity, I think that's fine.
Yeah. Whatever you're saying has to jump off the page. And you can't do it by like putting emojis or caps or anything like that in it, right?
Because ooh, I got one for you though. There is one thing you can do, and they're called like super brackets. I don't even know what they're called. They look like giant super brackets. They take up three characters for some reason.
Yeah.
If you wrap the main keyword in those, you jump way off the page. I don't know why they exist. I'm actually going to make the title of this episode those bracket thingies, so anybody can go either in Kajabi if they're a student, or they can go in Patreon and use them if they want to use them.
Good idea. Yes, you can do that, but I mean, there's not much from a formatting perspective you can do to make your text jump off the page other than using the keyword so it's highlighted and doing the thing that Ben's just mentioned. So you absolutely can't be misleading. No, that's never something that I recommend. So you can't promise that somebody's going to see something on your page that they're not going to see, right? To get them to click on your ad. No, absolutely. That's out. And that what that will lead to as well is you'll get a super high bounce rate, right? If you do stuff like that, which is going to hurt your quality score because Google can see the bounce rate from your ad clicks, and that goes to that landing page experience score that's part of your overall quality score for your ads and your relevance score. So No, definitely you can't do that. But I think you can use language to do something different. So if you, almost every time, if we're talking about these sort of keywords that are really specific to either a product or a collection, which is where a lot of e-commerce stores run their text ads, they almost always look the same. Everybody says the same shit in their ads. And so when you're looking at the page and you're doing that research on what the other ads look like, I almost always guarantee the majority of them will say basically the same thing. So say something different or say the same thing differently. That I think that's what I'm trying to get at, right? Don't be misleading or don't say anything that's false or is not going to actually be shown on the landing page, but just do it differently. And that's a lot of the trick. And remember, if you're going after product terms, at that point, the customer almost knows they want to buy the product. It's more a question, if you're a reseller, of why they're going to buy from you. Why should they be on your site? It's not a matter of do they want that product or another product. It's where are they going to buy it from? That's a big part of what they're deciding at that point in the funnel. So think about, are there things that you can say in your text ad that no one else is going to say, right? About why they should buy from you. That's another angle that you can come out with your text ads to encourage people to go and look, because when they see it, it's going to look different what everybody else is saying. And anything that's different automatically arouses curiosity, right? So that's literally the main thing. It doesn't really matter what you say. It just matters, aside from being misleading, it just matters that what you say is different to what everybody else is saying, right? It's like the Seth Godin's purple cow thing, right? Be unique and you'll get a better outcome.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, when I said free shipping, no tax, that's what I meant, right? Like everyone yeah. I think I've ever worked with ever has that in, you know, a bar on their website, and it's in every, like they often think that's their edge. I would say that's not your edge, right? And we talked about it. I put it on the free feed, episode 10, how to be different. I think it's a very good episode, episode 10 of the Patreon here, if you want to go check that out, or it's on the free feed last week when we had technical difficulties. But mix these two together. How can you be different in your headlines and get them to a page that's different and offer a unique selling proposition that's different so that you really stand out when people are searching this stuff? Do you have any examples, John, other than like, don't buy until you see this or so? Like, you know, obviously, I'm sure we've all seen those headlines. I don't even want to call, I can't think of what they're called, but I'm sure you've been to an article on the internet and scroll to the bottom and there's like five other like sponsored articles that are all recommended there. And they're all of those headlines are exactly what John is talking about. If you want to get very, you know, clickbaity and different than other people, that, do you have any examples other than, you know, click here, don't buy until you see this? So like, do you, like, what do you have that you've seen work in a high ticket drop shipping business?
A lot of the time, I mean, if we're talking about these sort of product focused single keyword ad groups, a lot of that might come down to the product itself in some ways. You might have to leave that one with me so I can think about it.
Here's a good example, right? So we've talked a lot about products here. I think you can run text ads to content if you're confident in how that content is going to work for you. I'm a big fan of text ads to best pages, as well as one of the supporting pieces of content I recommend people make around collections is brand name reviews. That page will work very, very well for you. It's a search term that's often out there. And people, if they're searching for brand name reviews, they're probably close to buying. They want to make sure this brand name is reputable. And so if you have a brand that you have a bunch of reviews and you're using stamp.io, because Judge doesn't do this, you can create a page called brand name reviews, write your, you know, whatever 500 words, 1,000 words from the owner, why you like it, but don't take our word for it. Check out our customer. Stamp will pull in all the reviews from every product for that brand. And then you should go run a text ad that says, you'll be shocked what our customers had to say, right? And like, that's the brand name reviews. You'll be shocked what our customers had to say, right? If that doesn't get clicks, I will be genuinely shocked. Like, same thing with best products. Like, you'll never guess which one we rank number one or something, right? Your headline is best genre or whatever you built your best page around, best genre, and then you'll never guess what we put as number one. Can you believe these four made the list? Or like, just, it's not hard to be creative here and like jump off the page compared to what other people are doing.
Yeah. Another great one is to use search text ads. And once again, this is a thing that's a little bit down the track, and I think I've mentioned it probably on this version of the podcast rather than the other one. But search text ads are a really good way to build an email list as well, right? So if you've got a piece of content that you're using as an opt-in, you can use search text ads and run traffic to the opt-in page. If you've got the right, like let's say you had an ebook or some piece of content, you know, that you wanted to get people's email in return for, this can work really well, because once again, those, like if you're running search text ads to content, the ad, you even have more sort of freedom around the ad, I think, as Ben's mentioned. So those kind of, you know, and I've done those and run them amongst ads where people are running like product focused search text ads or collection focused search text ads. I'll run a content ad that's like, read this before you buy whatever the product keyword is, right? Or you need to read this before you buy, you know, an infrared sauna. And I'll sit that in amongst everyone's ads that are advertising infrared saunas, like come buy an infrared sauna, blah, blah, blah. And then you see my ad, it's like, don't buy an infrared sauna until you've read this. And it will be a decent piece of content about, you know, whatever to do with that product. But it'll be on a behind an opt-in, you know, it's just a landing page with some content on it. And then, you know, put your email address in here, get the full report or whatever. And those get a really high click-through rate and, you know, email opt-ins like you wouldn't believe. I've used that to get 100 email opt-ins a day from, you know, for clients before. And then you have to have a really specific email sequence sitting behind that to actually turn some of those people into customers. But you know what keyword they came in on, you know what they were searching for. And so it's really easy to do that, right? Because it's all such a specific chain of events that you deliver them the content, you talk a bit more, and then you can offer them the product that hangs on the back of that. Super easy. You've warmed them up, you know, so it does turn into sales.
I've got a couple more little, I don't know, call them tricks, whatever. One of them is like simply if you have an offer. So I have a brand where margins are enormous and I can give 10% off and I can advertise. I can publicly say that, right? So of course I'm going to say that in one of my headlines, right? Shop today and save 10% or something like that, right? If you have an offer around a product that you're able to do, one thing I like to do is, since we're in high ticket, we have these big margins, but the brands not only have these big products, they also have little products. I often just take their little products and give them as a free bonus if they buy the big product, and I'll put that right in the text ad. Like, order your whatever today and get this for free. And that's compelling enough for someone to read that and be like, oh shit, I was going to order that today and I can get it for free. They're going to come check it out, right? And so that's one. The other is, I don't know if I know the name of this, John. I want to say it's called Ad Customizers, I believe. And I'm not sure I'm in the right spot in my system to look this up, but it's somewhere, I believe it's in Tools and then Business Data, I believe is how you do this. Look, you're going to have to look up an article and maybe I can help you find an article, but I'll give you the thesis of what it does. You have the ability to customize your ads with a few things, such as, like, you can put a keyword in there, right? You can insert a keyword. You can insert the user's search term. Again, if we're being super specific, I wouldn't recommend this whatsoever. But you can do keywords. You can put a countdown in there if you want to, like, count down to the end of a sale or something like that. But the one I like to use is location insertion. And so I'm in Wisconsin, and if you have, like, don't buy until you read this article, right? John's number one headline. And it's followed by free shipping and save 10% today with on-site or something like that, right? And then the third one is free shipping to Wisconsin. That might just like throw me through a loop of like, holy shit, you know, most people don't understand how the internet works, that we can just tell what state you're in and we can put free shipping to state. It's just a location geo ad customizer, I believe is what it's called. And so this isn't that hard to do. You have to upload like a CSV file in the back end and then set up what you're going to call it. And then you simply go in there and you put that little squiggly bracket. And then the one I have is geo.shipping I put after that. And that's it. And it automatically pulls in. So whatever state they're in, it'll say free shipping to a state. I think you can go down to like city level. I think you can say, I'm in Hudson right now, free shipping to Hudson, Wisconsin, I think is what you can say. The problem is not all ISPs are actually centered where you are. So if it did it to me today, I believe it shows up like Eau Claire, which is like an hour from me, but that's the hub of like the ISP. And so it would say free shipping to Eau Claire, which wouldn't hit, whereas free shipping to Wisconsin definitely would hit. And so that's one that I can recommend that I've used as long as I can remember. And some of the states don't work on the thing I have, or I would share the one I have, but some of the states just don't work. Thankfully, it's like Montana and Wyoming. But the ones that do, like, it crushes. The click-through rate on that headline is much higher than others. Do you have any other have you ever used ad customizers, John, like to insert a keyword or anything?
Yeah, both of those ones. So obviously keyword insertion and what you're talking about is called location insertion, which ironically is one of the few good things you can do with responsive search ads. So I've done both of those. And you can do the locations in different ways as well with those. So you can actually get quite specific to a location too. So you can do states, you can do cities. Which is kind of cool. Those are the only, I don't know actually if they have any more at the moment. I think it's just the keyword insertion and the location insertion.
Yeah, I think they have countdown, ads. But I'm not sure.
Yeah. But if you want to find out how to run those, Google does have help files on this. Just search Google Ads keyword insertion or location insertion, and you'll find from them a little guide on how to do that.
Yeah, I'm digging in there now. Let's see what else you got. I'll hit the plus button. So dynamic ad feeds and page, I don't even know. This is over my head. I just use the geo one, just the free shipping to your state, and it works really, really well. So I usually pair that with like one of the headlines will be the main keyword with those wacky brackets around it, or, you know, I'll try a little more clickbaity headline, and then I'll, you know, obviously if you have an offer, put that in there. Geo, I would put that in there. That's pretty much it for me. Like, you can retest and retest these headlines until you improve your click-through rate. The beauty of like the old ones was like you could test yourself. Now you're letting Google do it. And like John said, you're not getting a lot of data. But the key here is like use the keyword. Focus on one keyword. Use the keyword in your headline. Use the keyword in your description so it's bold. Make everything congruent and mess with your headlines until you can improve that click-through rate. Mess with your descriptions until you can improve that click-through rate and lower your ad cost, and hopefully you've been doing this on a keyword that's converting for you anyway. Some of the other stuff, John, like what have you messed around with extensions other than like anytime someone asks me, what do I do for extensions? I just do them all. Every single one that you can do, do them.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't think there's that many tips or tricks there other than, just do them and use them as, and once again, like with the text in your search text ads, I mean, actually put some thought into it. Don't just like, obviously you can have your phone number extension. You can have your call. There's call to action type extensions, call out, I think whatever that's called. And you can have up to 5 of them that it will rotate through. And then you can have like your site link extensions. Probably the site link ones are where you can do a lot of different things there, I think, that are going to, and you should have different ones for each ad, once again, that are fairly specific to what that person's searching for. I think that's a cool thing.
I like to use that one when I run just on a brand name. I'll bid low, so it's not, I'm not paying out the ass for this. I'll bid low and then hopefully send them to a collection page that I have built out. But underneath that, I'll use the site links to list out the products that they have in those site link extensions.
Yep. Yeah, another thing you could do depending on the nature of your product is, if you've got content that's relevant to your ads as well as products that are relevant to your ads, you could feature one of those in the main ad. And then, like, let's say you feature the product page type thing in your in the main part of your ad, and then have site links to other relevant pieces of content on your site that might also bring people back to the product page that are relevant to the product they're searching for, you know, just in case that catches their eye more than the you know, everybody else who's running a boring product page type ad. You know, that's something you should do as well. So
I like to stick my versus ones in there as well. If this product's popular and I've written this product versus the other product, I like to put those in there as well in case people are, you know, they're probably further down the rabbit hole here as they're searching this stuff. So let them sort themselves out.
And it's the site link extensions that add the real estate to your ad as well. Yep. Like of all the extensions, those add the most space and add the most in. So it literally double, if you use all of those and Google show, because Google doesn't always show all of the extensions you put in every time it serves your ad. But if you get all four site link extensions in, as well as your main ad, it like takes up half the screen, right? It's huge. It doubles the size of your ad. So it's definitely worth, particularly if your competition's not running them, or if your ad's in the top spot and Google shows all of your extensions, it often won't show all of the extensions for the second and third places. So once again, you're just pushing them way out of the view, right? And so it's actually worth putting the time into those, I think. And not just fluffing around and running the same site link extensions for every single search text ad you use. Think about it. Like, it's definitely worth thinking about.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people, a lot from Dropship Lifestyle, if I'm honest, they'll put their price match guarantee is one. Their About Us, which is copy and paste from the course. Contact Us, just to fill them out. And I try to encourage people, like,
yeah,
first off, you should only be going after a keyword that's converted for you. If that keyword's converted for you, it's on a product which has converted for you. I would sure hope at this point you've started building content around this product because you're going to want to sell more of that product, right? And so I try to use that content and just, you know, stay away from, like John said, from the generic. Don't put the same four on every single thing. Like, make them relevant to the ad as well. Make them congruent.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's all very important. And look, I mean, if you did want to feature a site link about something to do with your offer that you think's unique, just have one of the four site links related to that. Definitely don't put your Contact Us page in there, for crying out loud, because you can put your phone number as a site link extension that's clickable and ringable from the ad. So there's no point putting your Contact Us page in anyway, right? You can have that actually feature along your number with your ad. And you want people to phone you, not send you a message on your website anyway. Like, I don't know. I'm getting to the point where I think Contact Us page is almost pointless anyway. But
ooh, hot take. Hot take alert.
Not really. Boring alert. Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah. I think it's just like, I think a lot of this just comes down to putting in the time and effort to do it. Right? Yep. I actually think that's where most people like fall down with this. It kind of feels like a side thing that people don't really think about much. You know, they just kind of dabble with it a little bit, and then when they don't see the results they want because they only dabbled a little bit, they're like, oh, search text ads aren't going to work for me, man. You know, I'm going to kind of move on to another shiny object in my business.
Yeah, this is where I'm challenging everyone who's listening is who's still here. If you're still here, first off, thank you. You must love John and I. But if you're still here, do it. Like, just set up one. Go after a keyword you know you want and don't set up any other ads. Get in there and try to get this right, and then try to lower your cost per click by adjusting your headlines and adjusting your landing page. Like, just adjust everything you can. Add extensions. Change your extensions. Add I can't remember what some of the other extension things are called, but like fill everything out in there. Change your headlines. Change your description. Try to lower yourself. Just to have fun with one. Because what's the worst that can happen? You lose $50? Like, you're going to learn a lot in this process. So just go try to figure it out on one and see what happens.
Yeah, totally.
The one other, just tying it all the way back to Bing, Google just added these as well. Do the image extension. On Bing, they're huge. Like, they jump way out. Bing crushes text ad. Like, the way they look over there are way better than Google. So, you know, tying it back to Bing, do the image extension. And don't just grab some generic picture of the product. If you have a lifestyle image, use that. But they really jump off the page. Like, I'm a big fan of image extensions.
Yeah. Yeah, image extensions. And no doubt, I mean, definitely, I wouldn't assume they're that far away. But video extensions, I'm sure, are coming at some point. I mean, you can already put videos in some responsive ads on Google, as well as images. You know, if you're that might freak people out a little bit, but just think about if you can start generating some, getting some user-generated video content, particularly, you know, if you get video reviews for your products, you know, when and you are advertising on a product-based search term, you know, anytime it becomes available for you to put videos in, video reviews, easy.
I've got good news for you, John.
They're there.
So I popped it out here on Bing just to look at, see what they had. They have action extensions, which Google doesn't have. And at the very bottom, they have video extensions now.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, matter of time. Nice. I would assume before that, you know, everything's moving to video the way it is. So I just try to use them all, right? Use the action, use the call extension, use the call outs, use the image extension. If you have a price extension, great. Again, that works great for listing out products in a brand. Site link extension, structured snippet, video now. You should be able to do a ton of these and really make your ad jump off the page. Just take up so much real estate. The customer doesn't have anywhere else to click other than yours.
Yep. And once you've got some reviews on your site, obviously a tool like Stamped can start getting those reviews into your star rating showing, like on your search text ads as well, you know, in some cases. So,
and they have review extensions, and that's not what you think. It's not what John just described.
No.
If you were reviewed, if your company was reviewed somewhere else online, which cough, cough, you can go pay for that. You can put that as your review extension. So now you look great in some publication that you definitely paid for, but the world doesn't know that that's how the internet works. And so now you look like this great company as well. Just another extension, another way to jump off the page. And I have fun with this. I want to hear from some people who were like, yeah, I've never done it, or I tried it, didn't work. And now, thanks to John and Ben explaining it this way, I went and tried it on one keyword and hey, it worked. So like, I want to hear that from somebody listening to this. Just go give it a shot. Have fun.
Yeah, that's it. Search text ads are where you can actually be creative with your marketing, right? You can have some creativity. I mean, shopping ads are way boring, right? Oh, put a feed in, show your ads. Can't mess with anything kind of thing. This is like where the fun happens, right? The fun, like, oh, geez. The fun of Google Ads and B Ads. There you go. Much fun.
I almost want to put like a bounty out there of like who can come up with the most creative headline or something. You know what I mean? Like, get creative with this stuff. Have fun.
Well, boom. Who can come up with the most creative headline? John and Ben are going to give you $200 cash. Send it in somewhere. I don't even know where. $200 though. Come on.
But if you're listening to this, you're either, you know, you have our, again, dropship Patreon podcast at gmail.com. I shut the Facebook group down today, by the way, John. No one's in there. So send us an email, dropship Patreon podcast at gmail.com. If you're a student, share it in Slack. If you're an elite member, share it in there. If you're not an elite member and you're listening to this, come join our course and be an elite member. Come hang out with all of us. We'd love to have you. So this was fun. I don't know where we go next. We have a bunch of topics on the sheet. If you guys are looking to hear something again, fire up dropship podcast. Dropship Patreon podcast at gmail.com. Shoot us an email of something you want to hear about. Some of the ideas we have is like private labeling, loving your customer, recurring revenue, how to build additional income streams, email for high ticket dropshipping, how to build out avatars in your business. That's a fun one. Okay, we should find someone's business to do that in, actually do that live with a student. That'd be cool. Different traffic ideas. This one, yeah, there we go. Oscar Santana asked for this. So Oscar, if you're listening, here you go. I hope you enjoyed this. And yeah, that's all I got. Anything else, John?
Sweet. Nah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.